You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
There are some signs that credit markets, while still strained, are improving. Interbank short-term funding rates have fallen notably since mid-October, and we are seeing greater stability in money market mutual funds and in the commercial paper market.
That's Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke yesterday defending how he and Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson are handling the bailout package. They were speaking before a congressional committee. And also on the Hill yesterday were the heads of the big three car makers pleading for their own bailout. For more, we go now to Todd Zwillick, who reports for PRI's Capital News Connection. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning.
Let's start with Paulson and Bernanke. They sure got a grilling on the Hill.
Well, they went into Barney Frank's committee. That's the place to go for a grilling, I suppose, for almost anyone in Washington, certainly for Paulson and Bernanke. So they talked about the bailout, but one thing that Paulson did do, he went, and you played a clip earlier of him saying that a bailout for the big three is not what he had in mind for this rescue plan. He then went behind closed doors with senators in their lunches and told them individually and personally that he didn't support this and he did not want to see this money used for the big three. So if they didn't hear it in public in the morning, they heard it in person from the secretary in the afternoon.
So is that the end of it?
Well, it's not the end of it. I mean, it's not dead until it's dead, is it? The idea of using the TARP money, that $700 billion we talk about all the time, that idea is pretty darn close to dead. There might be another way for them to get some money. We'll know more by the end of the day today once the Senate goes through some procedural fits and starts if there might be some money available. But it probably won't be new money, and it almost certainly won't be this TARP money. They might get the ability to use some existing money that they wanted to use for something else. They might get access to that. They won't be thrilled with it, I'm sure, if they even get that. There's a good chance they'll get zero.
So when you say TARP, you're referring to the Troubled Asset Relief Program, which is part of the $700 billion monies to bail out the financial industry.
Yes, correct. That $700 billion big effort, bailout, rescue.
All of our money there, Todd. You know, yesterday there was a lot of lecturing on the part of some of the congressmen and congresswomen about, you know, is the dollar over with? Do we need a gold standard? That sort of thing. Any sign of a core of maybe obstructionist Republicans who are likely to try to shut some things down either on this plan or on the auto industry plan as we go forward in this strange session?
Well, they're going on two separate tracks. You won't see any significant action probably on that $700 billion, the big rescue slash bailout track. That's probably not going to see any major changes this week. The big three, the auto question, comes to a head today and tomorrow in the Senate. And that small core that you're talking about, John, isn't small. It's nearly all of the Republicans and even a couple of Democrats. There is just not 60 votes for any approach for the big three as it stands right now. Now, the Senate has a way of putting together a deal on something. But as it stands, it's not a small group. It's a big group. The big three is not looking at success today unless, like I mentioned before, they find a way to get the money out of another pot that they might be able to get access to.
Well, there's certainly a lot more going on there in Washington yesterday. Let's talk about the Democratic Party dealing with Senator Joe Lieberman. What did they decide?
Well, they decided to let Senator Lieberman keep his chairmanship of the Government Affairs and Homeland Security Committee. He also gets to keep his chairmanship of a Armed Services Subcommittee. What he loses is the chairmanship of a Global Warming Subcommittee. Global warming's a big issue. I'd say out of those three committees, it's probably tier three. So he got a little bit of a slap. You can determine for yourself whether that slap was, you know, across the face or on the wrist. I think people have different opinions about that. But he lost one subcommittee. He gets to keep his big ones. I think the interesting thing about this is not so much what was the retribution that was meted out yesterday against Joe Lieberman. It's retribution by a thousand cuts. I mean, Lieberman will be in the Senate for years to come. And I think real retribution will be determined over the months and years, in fact, with individual senators on an individual basis. Some of them have probably forgiven him for backing John McCain and criticizing Barack Obama, but a lot of them probably haven't, and a lot of them remain angry, and they will have opportunities in one way or the other, on a bill, on some money that he wants, on a favor that he wants, on cooperation or not, over the course of years to exact retribution or not. I mean, it's personal and it's subclinical, and it will only unfold over time, I think, how it really affects his career and affects the Senate.
Todd Zwillich, thanks for joining us as always.
My pleasure.
Todd Zwillich, reporting from Capital News Connection.
For all you need to know, go, go, Todd Zwillich.
The Todd Meister. So a lot of discussion about the big three automakers yesterday on Capitol Hill who are looking anything but big as they faced the Senate Banking Committee and attempted to convince them that $25 billion would A, save them, and B, be enough to actually keep them from coming back for more money. Joining us now is the senior editor of Fortune magazine, Alex Taylor. Alex, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, John.
You know, this was really, I mean, for people who have covered the auto industry, this was a historic encounter between senators and those CEOs. I mean, there was blow-by-blow discussion of specific union agreements, and Gettelfinger was there of the UAW. There were specific sort of discussions of why do we pay workers and when we've closed factories kind of thing. I just thought the level of detail in these hearings raised the idea that these senators are extremely skeptical of anything, and it was bipartisan. Was that your impression?
Well, the other remarkable thing to me is how little respect the big three get on Capitol Hill or really anywhere in the country. I've been amazed at the backlash that's developed against them since they've gotten into this extreme cash shortage. There seems to be very little sympathy for their plight, the feeling they really haven't done enough to be competitive going forward, and that they've been paying the UAW workers too much.
You know, I guess I don't understand why that plays so broadly as a political issue, because, you know, we're talking about 3 million workers here, and it's not as though what GM has done, at least for the workers, is absolutely unprecedented, and in some cases actually had support on Capitol Hill from sort of labor-leaning Democrats. But all of a sudden, it's like they can't do anything right.
No, it's funny. They've been getting bad press in the 70s for bad quality, in the 80s for not being fast enough to catch up with the Japanese on small cars. But for the last 10 or 15 years, they've really been trying to be good citizens. But all that bad news seems to stick to them like glue. They just can't get rid of that bad image they've got.
Well, let's talk about one practical consensus that seemed to be developing on that Senate committee. And that was the idea that the Senate might prefer to revisit this issue only after the big three go into some sort of prepackaged, structured bankruptcy process. Can you explain what that's about?
Well, there's a lot of feeling that giving the big three money at this point would just be throwing good money after bad unless they are really serious about changing the way they do business. And the best way to get them to change the way they do business is to have them go into bankruptcy, where they have to go to the union and ask for givebacks and contract negotiations and go to their dealers and ask for changes in the franchise agreement so they can close all those Chrysler and Buick and Pontiac dealers that aren't really pulling their weight. So the Congress will be in a better position to negotiate, and the companies, because they won't have any alternative, will really be forced to come up with some radical solutions at that point.
At some point, Alex, though, is it a question of cutting off your nose to spite your face, not only in terms of how important the auto industry is to the economy, but in terms of speeding up innovation to meet the needs of the future?
Well, that's true, but these companies have been destroying capital for years and years. I mean, what's GM lost? $70 billion in the past 5 years, and to give them more money at this point, I can see where the impression is created that you are throwing good money after bad, and a bankruptcy would really be a lever, a very strong lever, to get these companies to really change the way they're doing business.
Well, Alex, listen to this. Here's Alan Mulally, chief executive at Ford, trying to sound upbeat.
The key to us going forward is, as we go through this, continue to invest in the new products, continue to invest in the continuing productivity, and we'll come out the other side and we're going to be a turbo machine.
A turbo machine, Alex. Now, the auto industry argument, let's not laugh too much. The auto industry argument is that if you just give us this money, we're going to get to a position where we can innovate and move forward and create cars that are going to actually help us with these other problems like the energy crisis. What's wrong with that argument before we go?
Well, basically the problem is the auto industry is a long-term product situation where it takes 3 or 4 or 5 years to get new products to market. So you're trying to solve a long-term problem with a short-term cash infusion, and the two just don't balance out. I mean, nothing is going to change between now and January in terms of what the big three are working on. If they get the money now, they've got their product plans and technology plans and fuel-saving plans already drawn out to 2013. So you've got a mismatch here between what Congress wants to do and what the
right.
big three need to do.
Alex, quickly, in a couple seconds, do we lose one or two automakers a year from now? Quickly.
Two, I think. And Chrysler are really short of cash right now. It's going to be very, very difficult.
Alex Taylor, senior editor of Fortune magazine, with his sobering prognostication on the big three, who again face the Senate Banking Committee on Capitol Hill.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.